All hands on deck!
Ahoy there, matey. This is a podcast of the Podflix Network. Savvy?
This is Avast, a podcast where every day is Talk Like a Pirate Day. Because it kind of already is. Today, we're going to talk about words and phrases. How did pirates really talk anyway? And why is this podcast called Avast? Let's go. At the moment, the seas were calm. France was too busy struggling with internal troubles to be feuding with other countries. Holland was reeling from a major flood. England and Spain were finally getting along for once. The Atlantic Ocean was spawning one hurricane after the next. And with no war happening, the piracy business slowed down just a little bit, and things were calm. For now. The year? Was 1995, baby. Oh yeah, Blockbuster Video was still open. Toy Story and Braveheart were in movie theaters. Everybody was doing the Macarena. I was playing Destruction Derby on the Sony PlayStation. And two men, John Bauer and Mark Summers, were playing racquetball. And one of them got injured and reacted with an R. And they came up with a fun idea. Play racquetball while using these over-the-top pirate accents and speech. They shared that idea with a few friends, and that small group of people decided that they would devote one day each year to only talk like a pirate, all day, September 19th. They then decided that this was so much fun that everybody should be doing it, so they contacted Miami Herald columnist Dave Barry and asked him to be their official spokesman about their idea. And he wrote a column about it called, "Arr, Talk Like a Pirate or Prepare to be Boarded." The column began with Barry declaring that every now and then, some visionary individuals come along with a concept that is so original and so revolutionary that your immediate reaction is, those individuals should be on medication. And Talk Like a Pirate Day took off. Every September 19th, there are Talk Like a Pirate Day celebrations and events across the entire United States. At one point, you could choose English Pirate as your default language setting on Facebook. It even made it to Sesame Street.
Today is International...
Arrgh! Shiver me timbers and hoist me by the yardarm! Please!
Like I said, today is...
Hey, Kermit! Someone forgot to swab the poop decks, okay?
Today is...
Hey, what do you think of my new socks? They're Argyle!
Yes, they are, and today is International Talk Like a Pirate Day.
Arrgh!
Well, the origins of Talk Like a Pirate Day and any other cartoon or movie or TV show where the pirate talks with that "Arr, shiver me timbers" voice can be traced back to 1950 when a motion picture about pirates was released. Now, before 1950, pirate movies existed and they were incredibly popular. But the pirates in those movies talked like this.
Who are you?
A sea rat. A bit of ocean scum doing His Majesty's dirty work. Killing Spaniards to make room for fat Englishmen and their nasty daughters. Waring is my name, but those who love me call me Jamie Boy.
Oh, Jamie Boy. They also said it a lot like this.
We've an old proverb in England that says, those who sail without oars stay on good terms with the wind.
I'm not in the habit of conversing with thieves. I thought I made that quite clear, Captain Thorpe.
Why, yes. All except your definition. Tell me, is a thief an Englishman who steals?
But when Walt Disney Studios filmed its first ever live-action film based on Treasure Island by Robert Louis Stevenson, an actor called Robert Newton put on an exaggerated West Country accent for his portrayal of Long John Silver. West Country accents are generally associated with farmers, but what Robert Newton was doing wasn't just a simple regular farmer type of voice. He went over the top with it. There are Southern United States accents, and then there's Larry the Cable Guy. Robert Newton went full on Larry the Cable Guy.
leastways this be good sea cloth.
Like enough, you wouldn't look to find a bishop here.
What did he die of, I want to know?
He died of Flint's hand, as did five other men Flint took a char.
That would be Darby McGrar. Mind old Darby Morgan?
Aye, I mind him. Owed me money, he did.
I don't like the way he stretched out. Tain't natural. Tain't nice.
I've a notion. Where's that map? As I thought, right in line. By thunder, it makes me go cold inside to think of Flint. This one he hauled here and laid down by compass to point the way to the doubloons. Fetch it now!
Oh, man. So, yeah, phrases like shiver me timbers and walk the plank and even that R delivered in Robert Newton's over-the-top Larry the Cable Guy West Country accent, all brought to you by Walt Disney Studios. So how did pirates talk? Like, what words and phrases did they actually use? Did they actually say R? Maybe. But the biggest problem with answering these types of questions is that audio recordings didn't exist. The first audio recording of a human voice happened in 1860, some 150 years after the golden age of piracy fizzled out. Now, you might think Thomas Edison recorded the first human voice, but he did not. Suck it, Thomas Edison. A man called Leon Scott recorded this, and it sounded, well, like this. Ouch. Oh, and by the way, that's after audio engineers cleaned it up a little bit in 2008. So we have to kind of fall back onto common sense. So in general, English-speaking captains preferred to hire English-speaking sailors. Makes sense. But sometimes ship captains really just needed someone with a strong back that could push and pull things. Merchant ship crews back then wound up being made up of people who spoke English, Gaelic, French, Portuguese, Turkish, Arabic, Spanish, Dutch, Native African and American languages, Norwegian, maybe some ancient Norse languages crept in there, you get the picture. And when a merchant ship would be overtaken by a pirate ship, that multicultural, multilingual crew would very often have the opportunity to remain a member of the crew. Being bilingual or multilingual was fairly common back then, but language evolves and changes over time, and 17th century English, French, and Spanish are very, very different from the 21st century English, French, and Spanish that are spoken today. Imagine for a moment that everyone on a pirate ship spoke 17th century English. Would you be able to understand it? A YouTuber read a poem using his interpretation of a 17th century London accent, and it sounded like this.
But over the forest far Pecunia, the farmer's queen of rich America, goddess of gold, great empress of the earth, or thou that canst do all things under heaven.
And so that was his interpretation of proper English. You know, never mind somebody shouting at you, you know, over the waves and the wind and everything else. So a theory arose that a dialect called Maritime Pidgin English might have appeared. Not pidgin like the bird. Pidgin is spelled P-I-D-G-I-N. And a pidgin language is a very, very simplified form of communication that develops between two or more groups of people who don't share a common language. So this Maritime Pidgin English may have been a blend of simplified English words, loan words from other languages, maritime jargon, curse words from various languages. And that would have been great because many sailors were to some degree multilingual, as we said, and so maybe they were able to cobble together this dialect to get things done more efficiently rather than just a lot of pointing and shouting. Again, this is just a theory. We don't really know. But I'll tell you a little story. When I was about 20 years old, I worked at a pottery, and I had the pleasure of working with a really great guy called Tony. He was from Ecuador, and he spoke zero English. I don't even know if he knew how to say hello, and I'm not exaggerating. He spoke no English. I took Spanish class in eighth grade, which is only really useful for asking where the airport and the bathroom are, right? ¿Dónde está el baño? Yeah, mi amo es Paul. It was not very useful. Sorry, Mr. Cabrera. But in very short order, we were able to cobble together words and phrases in our own sort of Spanish-English dialect so that we could be productive. And eventually he learned more English from me and the other people that we worked with. I learned more useful conversational Spanish, and we could have little conversations. So even pop culture that doesn't use that over-the-top Disney Robert Newton R-matey voice, like the show Black Sails or the video game Assassin's Creed Black Flag, those things are still going to feature very accessible, comfortable 21st century English with maybe some 18th and 19th century specific words and phrases and a few curse words just to spice things up a little bit for you and me. So we're going to talk about etymology and some words and phrases that you were using fairly often that have been around since the golden age of piracy. But first, let's head on over to the tavern and take care of some business. Hey, if you want to support me personally, you can go to ko-fi.com/avast, ko-fi.com/avast. You can buy me a shot, glass, bottle, or a whole gosh dang keg of rum. A one-time donation. You're not on the hook for any long-term commitment that you have to feel awkward about ending. Jen, Christopher, a totally different Jen, Phil, Meg, and Kim all bellied up to the bar with me and bought me rum. So ahoy, mateys, thank you very much. You can subscribe to this show wherever fine podcasts are sold, and you can leave a rating and review on Apple, iTunes podcast app, or whatever they're calling it, or Podchaser. I like Podchaser. It's very nice. And I'll read those on the next episode, on the Captain's Log episode. Your reviews are really appreciated. Your ratings are very appreciated, especially if they're 5 stars. You can send me stories, suggestions, comments, or complaints to avastpod@gmail.com. If I'm wrong about something, I'll happily take my flogging. You can follow and DM me on Twitter @avastpodcast. Follow me on Instagram as well, @avastpodcast. And if you like what you're hearing, the best thing you can do for me is just tell someone about it. Tell someone you found a cool podcast about pirates. I would really appreciate it. So do all these things or walk the plank. Okay, back to the show. So the answer to the question, how did pirates really talk, is a definite, And I think that's unsatisfying because I really like words. I like learning about where words come from. I think etymology is amazing. I think that the way languages come and go and change and evolve and appear and disappear through decades and centuries is fascinating. So it was unsatisfying to me to end the show with, So I thought I'd talk about a few interesting words. So first of all, pirates. Why are pirates called pirates? Well, we get the word pirate from Latin pirata, which literally meant attacker. Now, the word pirate begins showing up in Middle English sources around the 15th century, right around the time European explorers were traveling by sea to the Americas and Asia. But pirates and piracy started way before that on the Mediterranean Sea. They just weren't called pirates. Piracy has been around since there has been boats. So pirate, when it appeared, meant specifically someone who robs at sea or plunders the land from the sea without having a commission from any sovereign nation. Two words I've always been curious about are port and starboard.
Well, lad, we'll give you a test. And if you pass, you'll be on the crusty crew. Go out and fetch me a hydrodynamic spatula with, port and starboard attachments and turbo drive. And don't come back till you get one.
Aye, aye, Captain. One hydrodynamic spatula with port and starboard attachments, turbo drive, coming right up, sir.
Carry on. We'll never see that lubber again.
Now, port and starboard sometimes get equated with left and right. But these two words refer to specific locations on a ship and not necessarily direction. And that's useful because the port and starboard sides of a ship are never going to change no matter which way the ship is drifting or traveling or which way the sailor is facing. In the oldie times, before ships had rudders on the back of the boat to control the boat's direction, many vessels had a steering oar. That was a long oar that stuck out off the side of the boat. And so most people are right-handed, so sailors typically used that oar over or through the right side of the stern. and sailors began calling the right side the steering side, which seems reasonable. And somewhere along the way, the word became starboard by combining two Old English words, steer, which means steer, and board, meaning the side of the boat. If you were in one of these ships and you reached your destination, it was far easier to tie your boat up on the opposite side of the steering oar. At first, this side became known as the larboard, or the loading side, but that sounds a whole lot like starboard. So to avoid confusion, it started being called the port side, because that's where the port is, where your supplies can be ported back and forth by porters at the port, because that's how ports work. Oh boy. Ahoy is a nautical word that is used as a call for attention to enable further communication with another vessel or person. Not a word that was just restricted to pirates. Sailors of all types used this word. It didn't appear in print until the 18th century, but the word was used in sea shanties, way before that. Hoy, H-O-Y, was what a farmer would call out to drive cattle, so it was a farming word too. And that word appears in Middle English texts in the 14th century. Now, it is interesting that some farmers actually became privateers or pirates because the farming industry back then was pretty bleak. The addition of a in front of hoy would draw a little more attention to that call. Ahoy! Or if you're Montgomery Burns, ahoy hoy!
Ahoy hoy!
By the way, Alexander Graham Bell suggested that we all answer the phone ahoy, but Thomas Edison screwed that up too, so suck it, Thomas Edison. But even though he has nothing to do with pirates, I will bag on Thomas Edison every chance I get, just so you know. And of course, we have to talk about the word avast. This was in use from the 17th century, and it was a command to stop a particular action like pulling on rigging or moving something. And it later meant, listen up, like avast me hearties. And so that's why I named this podcast Avast, because you've stopped what you're doing and now you're listening to me. And if you're hearing this, you did just that. And I appreciate it very much. So welcome aboard. You might not be using the words port and starboard and avast in your everyday speech, but maybe, just maybe, you're already talking like a pirate anyway. So here are some words and phrases that have stuck around since the 16th and 17th centuries. Now, these words and phrases were not exclusive to pirates. These were things that anyone who made their living on the sea would have said, whether they were a privateer, a fisherman, a merchantman, or in the Navy. And the first phrase I want to talk about is cut and run. So if you're in a sticky situation and you need to peace out, even if it costs you something, you might have to cut and run. That comes from the practice of cutting the anchor cable with an axe rather than hauling it on board, because that takes time. And so cutting that anchor loose means you lose an anchor, but you save time and you can make a quick departure from a risky situation. And to cut loose has pretty much the same meaning. And cut to the chase is very, very similar in that the rigging for the sails was cut away to make the sails ready as fast as possible to maybe chase after another vessel. Have you got the blues? I'm sorry if you do. That means to feel down. Didn't really come from music. This expression likely derives from the practice of a ship flying a blue flag when its captain, commander, or an officer has died at sea, and some ships even painted a blue line on their hulls instead of raising a flag. Now, a bombard was a leather jug that could hold up to 8 pints of ale or beer or grog. That is a lot of alcohol. And if you drank that whole thing, you'd get pretty bombarded, which eventually got shortened to bombed. Now, if you were at sea and you were being punished, and we're going to have a whole episode about crime and punishment, one popular way to get executed was hanging, because all you need is a rope, pretty much, and you need something to stand on. Well, if a scaffold or ladder were not available, then the person about to be hanged stood on a bucket, and the bucket was kicked away from under their feet. Now, why and how did kick the bucket refer to actually dying instead of putting someone to death? I don't know. I don't have the answer to that question, but now I'm confused. So if you want to reduce a person's rank or reduce their inflated opinion of themselves, maybe put them in their place, you might take them down a peg or two. That expression derives from the practice in the Royal Navy of hanging ranking flags or standards from the mast. Now, if a more senior officer came aboard, the previously highest rank flag was taken down one peg and the new flag put above it. You are subscribed to podcasts, so you know that a ship generally has an anchor, and that anchor is attached to a rope. And the end of that rope is attached to a wooden post or a bit on the ship. The bit is spelled B-I-T-T. So if you've ever had enough of someone or something, and you're so frustrated that you are at the end of your rope, that's a thing you say quite a lot. How about the bitter end? The bitter end was the part of the anchor rope that was the very last bit that was attached to the bit. The bitter end seems like a good place to end today's show. See now, every day is Talk Like a Pirate Day. You are already talking like a pirate. Congratulations. And listen, when September 19th comes around and everyone is talking like a pirate, don't be that person who's all like, well, actually, pirates didn't speak that way. Nobody likes that person, okay? Just join in, have fun, post something piratey on Facebook. Just laugh about it. It's fun. Have fun. Well, that is going to be where our voyage ends for this episode. This podcast is produced on the traditional lands of the Calusa tribe. To find out which native land you're living on, you can visit native-land.ca or text your zip code to 907-312-5085 and use that as a starting point to learn all about the culture and lives of the indigenous people in your area. This podcast was created, produced, written, and edited by me, with technical support by Matthew Chomo.
That's got to be the best part I've ever seen.
The music in this episode was by Riot and by Blue Dot Sessions. You can find their music at sessions.blue. Avast is a proud member of the Podfix Network family of artist-owned, listener-supported shows. Keep listening to be introduced to your new favorite podcast. I'm Paul, and as Dave Barry said in that article, you have the buckles, darn it. Don't be afraid to swash them. And I like that so much, I'm probably going to tack that onto the end of every single episode. You have the buckles, darn it. Don't be afraid to swash them. We'll talk to you later.
Do you love plants? Don't be silly. Of course you do. You might just not know it yet. I'm Vikram Baliga, the host of the Plantthropology Podcast, the show where we dive into the lives and careers of some really cool plant people. Join me each episode as I chat with students, scientists, and professionals in the natural sciences and figure out what keeps them coming back for more. We'll explore their work, the ways they got into their fields, why they love plants and nature so much, and why you should love those things too. Plantthropology is laid back and conversational and will keep you laughing and engaged whether you're a scientist or not. Follow along for this adventure into the sciences and keep being really cool plant people.
Arr, this has been a production of the Podfix Network. If you find yourself seeking to plunder more podcasts, visit podfixnetwork.com. 'Tis there where ye'll find the motherlode of podcast treasures.